Hi, I'm your host, Susan Ney. Welcome to the podcast series, HR Inside Out. It's a series designed to help you demystify HR and the human resource processes. We're going to talk about people management. You get the goods on and see how all this stuff works. You're going to hear from everyday heroes and get their perspectives as we touch on a wide variety of topics, topics that impact us in our work and in our work environments. You'll find nuggets for your treasure chest of learning. Hopefully, you'll discover insights for your personal and your professional growth. I'm glad you're here. I suspect it's because you want to be the very best version of yourself, your personal best, and that you get understanding these systems and processes will help you on your journey, on your path. You ready to dare to soar? Want to join me at flight school? Let's do this. Thanks for joining me today. Hi, welcome to the podcast HR Inside Out. I'm your host, Susan Ney, and I am absolutely thrilled to welcome Dr. Alia Remtilla to today's podcast.
Hi, welcome. Susan. It's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for saying yes. Now, first, a little bit about you. Now, Dr. Alia Remtilla is an anthropologist and a filmmaker whose mission is to improve understandings of the human experience. Originally trained as a filmmaker at Harvard University, Alia takes complex ideas and communicates them to the general public through emotive storytelling in the visual medium. Alia is also a professional researcher with an MA and a PhD in social anthropology from the University of Manchester in the UK. She's worked as a researcher at both the Institute of Ismaili Studies in the UK and at Simon Fraser University here in Canada. Together, she has conducted research in over 20 countries, including Afghanistan, Pakistan, Portugal, Tajikistan, and Tanzania, examining the confluence of religion, economics, and politics. Alia has also served extensively with the Shia Ismaili Muslim community through the Aga Khan councils in Australia, New Zealand, and in the United States of America. Alia is skilled at shaping the strategic direction of community organizations at all levels. For example, at a grassroots level, supporting youth to navigate their Muslim identity while living in a Western context, and at an institutional level, establishing strategic partnerships with government and civic entities. Alia is currently the chief scientist and the co-founder of Storytiling, a platform that uses anthropology and tech to bring more authenticity to workplace relationships. Love it. By offering a simple, automated way to create impactful, personalized films to show employees that they matter. Now, specifically for new graduate hires, storytelling reduces the risk of reneges, and it speeds up the time to productivity with automated and personalized what Alia calls keep warm videos. Alia has actually recently posted a YouTube video titled Gen Z Engagement, Beyond Myths to HR Innovation, where she very nicely explains how these videos and narratives work and how they can enhance a number of organizational initiatives, not only for Gen Z, but for all other generations of our work colleagues' employment experiences. God love that. Alia, I love that you started with a personal passion to be different, and that sure caught my attention. There's got to be a story there. Can I get you to jump in right with a little bit about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because as you described my background, you know, we talk about DEI, EDI, all of this, and there's a lot of that in who I am, right? You know, we're talking about me being Muslim, working with Muslim communities, and actually 9/11 took place the night before my first day of classes at Harvard. It was a very interesting, you know, like, and then I'm physically, our listeners can't hear this, can't see me, but I have brown skin. I'm of Indian origin, but I was born and raised in Vancouver. And for me, it was, how can I just be Canadian? And it felt like, you know, growing up, well, I visibly was not what the, you know, external, potentially general perception of what a Canadian might be, which did not include being Muslim and having brown skin. So I think that was part of just being different to begin with, mm-hmm. outside of any choice of my own. And then also, I was female and I was a massive hockey fan. And this was another way that we talk about being underrepresented. And this is changing today with the PWHL. But at the time, well, like if I wanted to be a professional hockey player, was that even possible as a woman, you know? And what it led to was this process of, you know, self-discovery where, and this is, I guess, the story of at one point, going from wearing my female cousin's hand-me-downs to my male cousin's hand-me-downs, cutting my hair off into a boy cut and saying, well, you know what? If to be my dream of being a professional hockey player, I need to be a man, well, let me start dressing like one, right? And I remember this sort of pride and joy of, you know, skateboarding after my parents on a bike, who were driving away on a their bicycles, and having someone chase after them and telling them, your son is trying to catch you. And this wasn't a gendered exploration. It was, how can I be what I need to be in order to achieve what I want to achieve? Because mm-hmm. I just didn't see people like me doing the things that I wanted to do. And as I went through this journey, I think part of what I realized was that, you know, I mean, I went back to wearing clothes that are traditionally defined as being female. I grew my hair out. But that these very things that made me different could actually become assets. And I could lean into the difference instead of trying to cut the hair off and change my clothes mm-hmm. to be the norm, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so it was very much a journey of how do I, if I'm going to be different, do something with that difference that, you know, can be what I need it to be, even as to still enable me to go in the places that I wanted to go. And I think that this is very much the journey of authenticity, right? And mm-hmm. you know, preteen, it's quite different from that journey as an adult. But I think it's very like the having gone through that experience as a child is very formative in how I continue today to really want to value authenticity in all aspects of our lives and create spaces where difference really can be embraced.
I love that. And you know, it's vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
But I love that you modeled it. Because when we model it, we make it easier for others to follow suit. You talk a lot about the power of authenticity in the work that you do. And with regard to this podcast, specifically in employee onboarding, can we start there? And just what have you learned from your research with specific regard to the onboarding experience? So let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real problem here, right? I was shocked when I learned 20% of new hires will quit their job in their first 45 days on the job.
Ouch.
Really high, right? That's mm-hmm. like five people. Some people don't even show up on day one. So this is like that reneg rate that you were talking about, right? Yeah. And I think it gets worse, especially in the early career space, where potentially in some contexts, there's like up to an 8-month gap between job offer and start date. So it becomes hard to keep that interest. And that's where I talk about keep warm. I think that the challenge that we face in HR is that there's so much practical stuff we have to deal with. Right? There's the paperwork, compliance, mm-hmm. like, you know, and then there are legal restrictions. I think it's California where you like there's certain things that you can and cannot do with someone before they get they're like officially on payroll, right? Like, so there's even legally a limitation on how much engagement we can do. And essentially, I think with all of this, what gets lost is the stuff that matters most to the new hire. And I think if I'm starting a new job, it's as much the social aspects of things that I'm really, really keen to figure out, you know, who's going to be the people that I'm going to be working with? Am I going to like them? Am I going to mm-hmm. like my boss, are they gonna like me? Are we gonna have, stuff to relate about, relate together around? And I think that the social emotional connection to colleagues, managers, direct reports, and a company, right? To feel like this is a company I'm excited to be working for, I think that's the stuff that really, really matters, and that sometimes right now is falling through the cracks.
I've certainly seen not so much the people quitting in that short time frame that you've expressed and is supported by the research, but where there are lag between offering and somebody's first start date, especially if you're hiring from outside the country, and you're right, all the paperwork and stuff that's involved, of people accepting something else in the interim and not showing up. And which is really tough, not only on the organization in general, but on the colleagues that are waiting for, help with work that individual is going to help with.
Totally.
I want to take us, actually, as we talk about this, to a research article that you referenced on your website. It was titled "Breaking the Man or Eliciting Their Best: Reframing Socialization Around Newcomers' Authentic Self-Expression." And in that article, I learned that companies that emphasize personal identity during the onboarding process experience a 250% increase in employee retention after just 7 months. Now, given the cost of losing an employee, which you can hear is up to sometimes two and three times their annual salary, that's a pretty exciting statistic. What are you finding in the other research that you've been doing?
Oh, it's so good that you bring this up, and especially because I think it's bringing together everything we've discussed so far, right? So from everything from my own need to figure out in my own personal journey who I am, and find that authenticity. I mean, I think that's connecting my own personal journey to what we were just discussing in terms of new hire onboarding and creating space for authenticity in the workplace. And I think that the need for individuals in the work context to feel that they have a place to be themselves, emphasize that personal identity, and have that be connected to employee retention almost seems logical, right? Once we think about all of that. And I think so, if you're asking about the other research, I think McKinsey did a study in 2021 and said that exactly like this lack of connection and appreciation is the number one driver for attrition, for people quitting. And people are three times more likely to quit because they don't feel like they belong at work than because they feel like they're poorly compensated. And that's crazy, right? Because whenever we think about retention, we think about, okay, how are we going to increase salary packages? How are we going to, give them more incentives? And we think practically, we think about oh, let's give them more gift cards. Let's give them this. But actually sometimes all they need is to feel socially connected. And this is becoming so much worse with remote and hybrid work. So I think that it becomes harder, right? Like it's if you're connecting over the water cooler, or you just happen to have to say hi to someone when you're coming into an office, that facilitates this sort of informal connection, and you almost don't need to formalize a program to resolve it. But yeah, this is a problem. I think another stat, 57% of employees are feeling invisible at work right now. It's high, right? If you're feeling invisible, you don't feel connected, and you don't feel like you have your personal identity being seen.
It is absolutely critical and something that I certainly have worried about with, there's one thing when it's a hybrid work environment where individuals at least come in, to be working with their colleagues in person periodically. But for those who are working completely remotely, that's always been a concern of mine from a caring about people perspective.
Yeah.
Is
You know, to that, sorry, go ahead.
don't go.
You know that this the, to the point about the hybrid, I think there are different ways of doing hybrid. And I think that like there's also a question within hybrid of whether folks are coming in on the same days. Because if the type of hybrid where you pick your days, then you may still not be getting that connection if the like if there is no one to connect with on the days that you're there.
Good point. Good point. Now, For our listeners, it's like, yeah, Susan, yeah, like, we know about all of that, but what can we be doing differently? And that's what's so exciting about when you were telling me about your business, Storytiling, where you've talked about how storytelling can be used as a follow-up to the recruitment process. Please, yes, there is a tool, listeners. Over to you, please, to share a little bit about Storytiling and how it's used in the recruitment process.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think so much of what we've been discussing right now is the importance of creating human connection and starting off on that foot. And that's what we're doing with Storytiling is we're trying to say, okay, even if you're working in person and it's fully in-person work context, before the first day, everyone's remote. Because the new hire is not coming in, right? So in that fully remote pre-boarding time, like that pre-day one time, we facilitate a way to actually start the creation of those social connections. And we do that through, I mean, I guess the fancy word would be asynchronous video. But essentially what we do, our tech makes it super easy and quick to collect videos from different videos, like personalized video recordings from different individuals, and then auto edit them together into a beautiful gift for the new hire. Now, we realize, so essentially, let's start, like, what would this look like? Let's say that we've hired someone, they're starting in 1 week, 2 weeks, and we want to give them this amazing warm welcome and start as quickly as possible the creation of the relationships between that individual and their future team. What we enable companies to do is to say, okay, that future team, let's have them all send a video message, introduce themselves, tell them a little bit about why they're excited for the new hire to work with them and to start. And we collect those videos. First of all, we make it super easy for everyone to record those videos. We know that most of us are not in Gen Z. We don't know how to record a video and it feels super awkward. So we've designed a product that has pre-written scripts, teleprompters, making it like just dummy-proof, remove all the stress from the process. And then we integrate with HRISs, ATSs to smooth out that whole administrative part of things. And then once the videos are collected, we enhance them with music, company branding, title cards, edit it all together into this gorgeous website that includes a list of all of the people on the team and their photos, so that that new hire, basically before they even start, is just like wowed by the fact that they're like, wait, really? These folks took the time to send me this amazing custom video just for me. And what ends up happening is they show up on day one and they already kind of know everyone a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So you just speed up that entire process of building those relationships, which the data tells us are key to retention. And this all gets done before day one, and it takes like 2 minutes from each person, which is way quicker than the 30-minute coffee chat that you would otherwise have to schedule after they start. So it's a massive time saver for everyone involved, and it wows the new hire to set off and a really great start. And yeah, it's really excited about it.
Wow. I can't even imagine how wonderful that would feel. And I know when we talked, you know, you also the encouragement about a little bit something about personal, about, you know, the fact that you are a dog lover or, you know, something that, you know, sometimes in the busyness of our work, especially when we don't have those water cooler conversations, it's really hard to get to know your work colleagues. So that would be such an incredible gift. And that's notwithstanding that those 30-minute coffee conversations afterwards are still incredibly important. Absolutely. But what a marvelous gift. I know that you also have used Storytiling, or not you, but the organizations, for recognizing individuals or groups of individuals with personalized films, such as what you've just described. Perhaps to recognize a milestone, like a project that's been completed, and boy, putting in HRIS new systems.
Yep.
Deserved at least that. Can you provide an example from the work that you do, actually telling us a little bit about an organization, not necessarily identifying who they are, but how that application of storytelling has been used?
Yeah. So we have a number of different, I think that the way I see it is you essentially have three phases in which you can use storytelling. So the first is in the recruitment process. So the ability to use our videos for testimonials that can be embedded in job adverts, information about the company that gets crowdsourced, things like that. So that's in the recruiting process. I've also seen storytelling used for immediate follow-ups. So if you want to send like a company branded, you know, with the auto editing that we have to offer, a quick follow-up after an interview with a stellar candidate, especially like, let's say you're going to a job fair. This is like in the early career space. I've seen this a lot where there is massive competition for the top 10 candidates and every company wants that candidate. Following it up with one of our storytelling edited videos saying, we love talking to you and this is why, in a video that has your company branding, is pretty cool. Definitely a way to set your company apart. So that's the first bit in the recruiting context. I think the second is what we've talked about so far in terms of the pre-day one, so post-job offer pre-day one. And I'll come back to that because I think there's some good examples there. And then the third is in the ongoing engagement. So that's where they're what you were talking about just now with work anniversaries, birthdays. I've seen a lot of really good uses around personal milestone occasions. So having a new baby, getting married, getting citizenship, or getting your permanent residency, milestones that are really big, right? Like that's huge in a person's life. Mm-hmm. And recognizing it in a way that shows real value. I think there's a certain category of employee that's earning a lot of money already, where a $50 gift card or a $100 gift card, I mean, really? And then in Canada, there's an additional tax burden on the gift. so you're essentially getting them to pay more out of pocket to get something they may not even want. Whereas this type of gift is the gift that just, you know, it's emotionally valuable. So you can't even place a dollar value on it. There for that middle type of category, the pre-boarding before day one, I've seen two different types of companies really lean into this that have a specific need. One is in a context of really high frequency turnover, high volume of hires. Customer service matters in this space, right? Like if you're talking about retail, you need that new hire to be really excited to get going. So wowing them before day one makes a big difference. And because turnover is so frequent, you kind of want to do every little extra bit that you can without paying them a ton more, because that's actually would, you know, probably go against what's best for the company. So that's where a video helps. And then the second is that sort of grad hire keep warm problem that we were talking about. So I think those are two of the like niches that I've seen multiple companies really, really need it. And then of course, the other type of company that tends to really gravitate towards using storytelling are your culture leaders. So companies that are performing really well on already creating a great work environment, they tend to be early adopters of any new technology that is arising to make things even better for their employees. So I think those are maybe three different categories of companies that use us.
As I was listening to you, I was just thinking of a situation where somebody was just being honored with their 20 years with the company. And their boss took the time to basically list out in an email every accomplishment that, you know, every promotion that individual had experienced through their career with the organization and how much that meant. And I can't even imagine how that would be just made so much even more impactful if it had been the video with the boss talking about those and just, you know, again, just so much more personal. I could see this would be huge in making a really significant difference for anybody. I can't imagine anyone not being, just blown away by receiving a story tile.
Absolutely. And you know what? Never gets old. Like every time it can be the exact same thing over and over. And as a giver, you're like, oh, this is going to be boring. It's going to be the same thing again. For the recipient, never. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, we just keep them coming. Right. And it is, it's in the nonverbal. You're right that there's something very, very unique about video. It's the facial expressions, you know, the things that aren't spoken, but are seen, mm-hmm. that communicates a lot.
Well, it's that authenticity that comes through.
Yes,
exactly. You can't fake it. So I know when we were talking and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this would be very expensive. And I worked primarily in nonprofit and public sector through my career, and there was very little money that, you know, unfortunately was able to be budgeted for these kinds of initiatives. What can an organization expect working with you and your colleagues if they're interested in using storytelling in their recruitment retention initiatives? What kind of costs? How would it work? Ballpark?
Yeah, great question. I'll start by saying that there's a lot of personalization. So we're not one of, you know, we believe in the value of authenticity, and we work really directly with our company. So what can you expect? You can expect to have a call with me directly, and, you know, not just with some sort of salesperson who's trying to churn out monthly quotas. So that personalization goes to pricing as well. So we work with companies based on how we can, for us, it's a question of how can we have impact on that company. I think in terms of like the formally listed prices, packages still are very cheap. So ballpark starting as low from as $300 a month, Canadian dollars. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're always really keen to explore new use cases, and our vision is to improve authenticity and that human relationship in as many workplaces as possible. So we're really keen to work with companies to design solutions that match their specific budgets. We never want pricing to be a barrier.
You mentioned that it's a per month cost. But you've also talked about being really flexible with regard to an organization's specific needs. So I'm assuming you would be flexible, but perhaps you could speak to that.
Yeah, for sure. So there are companies that want to pay just for one video, and that's always a possibility. We find that the majority of use cases are actually repeat use cases where mm-hmm. companies want to do, you know, let's say a video for every new hire, and hiring is ongoing. So it works out more economically friendly to our customers to just sort of do a one-off setup and then have a monthly subscription that just sort of enables them to keep using the product and use the software as much as they want. And so that's why we've gone to, instead of buying a package of a certain number of videos, to actually say, you know what, let's solve the issue, just keep using it. Once we've done the setup and the customization, just pay. And we actually don't charge for the setup and customization. So our general approach is to have a monthly subscription paid annually. And that enables us to sort of invest in that upfront cost to customize right. every single algorithm for that company with their branding and, you know, all the video editing algorithms, all the integrations with ATSs, HRISs, all of that stuff that enables it to be really seamless. And by the way, it's really quick, right? So if a company decides to use it today, I mean, within a day or two, they're off and running. Like it's wow. not, yeah, it's really not heavy on the setup. But yeah, to your point, if that type of pricing is a major barrier, We can discuss other things. I haven't seen I for the use cases that I think we thrive on, that seems to be the best pricing model at this stage.
Okay. What I'm hearing you say is that call me. Let's
Yeah,
talk.
call me.
We'll just leave it at that.
Exactly.
As we bring this podcast to a close, is there anything that I haven't thought to ask you that our listeners might find helpful regarding this very, very important topic?
I just don't think anything beats face-to-face interaction. Like, we're talking about authenticity, we're talking about creating real relationships, we're talking about the need for, creating a space for personal identity in the workplace. I'd love it if we were put out of business because every single person in the office actually took the time out individually to have those real face-to-face conversations, to take the time to develop those real human relationships in their workplace. I also realize this isn't practical, which is why we exist. I know that it takes a lot of time to do that. I know that we are in a world where remote is here to stay, and I know that companies grow, right? So what may be possible for a smaller company, for a smaller team? As you know, I remember talking to this one company where the CEO personally cooked a barbecue lunch for his team once a quarter. And you can't like don't replace that with a storytelling video. Like, keep that going. But I also we were talking why, because the company was getting too large for it to be feasible for the CEO to cook that much food, right? But for yeah. So I think it's essentially that would be my sort of final point. I think like at that point where it becomes too difficult to do, at that sort of individual level, reach out. If you're recognizing the problem, need help solving it, and even if you don't know that storytelling is right for you, that's fine. I'm always happy to chat, discuss options. I have been working in this space for a while. I've been doing a lot of research in this space. And ultimately, I want to be helping companies foster stronger and more authentic human connections amongst their employees in any way possible. So really, really happy to connect with folks who are, exploring this for their own companies.
It really is the core of who you are. And it's interesting because, even if companies were to use it for those key positions that, tend to go through a number of interview processes. And I could see even through those interview processes of using this from, and I think you and I had talked about with the recruiters, because often there are multi-person recruitment teams. Saying a little bit about who they are, or just encouraging someone along the process so that you don't end up losing good candidates. I could see a whole bunch of different uses. And that brings me to you also have been very interested and I think you talked about it in the Give It a Nudge YouTube video, keeping family stories alive. So before we come to a close, a little bit about that. I think your grandma was what
Oh my
sent you on
God.
that sent you on that journey.
Yeah. I think so. My grandma turned 90 nearly 10 years ago. She's turning 99 this year, and she's still with us. She's
Wonderful.
just, it's amazing. And for her 90th birthday, we r wrote a book about her life, and it was not the most fun to put that book together because the technology wasn't great. And we tried to solve that problem actually by we're pretty good at helping people open up a video form, and we built a tech product that enabled families to capture their life stories. We actually are about to have we've submitted we had a university in Australia, the University of Canberra, who worked together with an aged care facility to assess the efficacy of that tech product that we built in improving the quality of dementia care by having the caregivers talk to the dementia the folks with dementia and capture their stories with our tech in video form. And so hopefully that publication will come out soon to validate, and it does that publication that we, that the paper that we wrote does validate the efficacy that our tech is very good at doing this. So yeah, it's something that's a bit of a side project for us, and you know, something that we really care about in terms of this mission to capture stories. And I think it goes back to honestly where we started, right? Which is about our identity and about creating. I think that if we want to build communities that and future leaders really that are confident in the entirety of who they are with all of the diversity that comes with and all the diversity, right? Because there are many layers of different types of diversity. A lot of that is feeling comfortable and rooted in our stories and our heritage, in our family traditions and our community traditions, however community is defined, in understanding those legacies that we inherit and how they have shaped us and come to be. So I think this is actually quite critical. And I know, on the side, I've also written a book that's specifically about my own community, the Ismaili Muslims history from East Africa. And this has also been part of that own journey for me, right? Is understanding my own heritage. So I think it's really shaped so much of who I am. And I do believe that, you know, whether or not you're capturing it in a video form, I think that going home and you know, talking to our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles and just, you know, asking the questions beyond the mundane, you know, so not like, what did you have for lunch today? But, you know, questions about your childhood, what were your, you know, what was school like for you? What were some of the challenges that you've overcome and understanding that and being okay when stories repeat themselves, because that's part of the process, but we continue to ask those questions and to learn.
Again, what a gift and a legacy individuals within organizations.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to capture those, you know, as part of an organization's branding?
Yeah.
You know, I could just see so many uses of storytelling, and it's so exciting what you're doing. And I so appreciate your saying yes to coming and sharing a little bit about your journey, your personal journey, and the work that you're doing with storytelling and others like this book that you've just referenced. How do people contact you? And I will put not only your contact information, but also a link to the book, if that's okay, and to some of the articles that that we've referenced in the show notes to the podcast. So How do people contact you?
Yeah, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm always on it, always checking messages. So okay. If you reach out to me, I will respond.
Excellent. Thank you. And I do encourage that reach out to at least learn a little bit more. I think this is just a phenomenal idea and one that really could be helping us with recruitment and retaining those employees within our organizations. Thank Alia, you. Thank you. Thank you for being here, making the time. It is time for us to say goodbye. And for our listeners, thank you for connecting in with us and supporting HR Inside Out. Remember, dare to soar, because we believe you can. It is Alia and Susan signing out. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, we've reached our destination for today. Time to lower those wheels and prepare for landing. Thank you for joining me. If I said something that resonated with you, please subscribe to the podcast and to share it with others. It would be awesome if you also took the time to provide a review, whatever your favorite social media sites are. If you have a question or an area that you hope I'll cover in a future session, please send me a note, either to my website, www.effectingchangefromwithin.com, or to my email, susanjeanay@gmail.com. I look forward to our next time together. In the meantime, soar high. I believe you can. Susan signing off. Thanks again for joining me.